Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter podcast. This is Julia Lejian. Today I'm talking to Shanti Zimmerman from Switzerland. She's back by popular demand. Hello, Shanti. Welcome back.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here again.
Shanti, I was blown away by one of the videos you posted on Facebook a week ago. I don't even know what to say right now. I am lost for words. Do you want to just go straight in and share your story with our listeners?
I think it's interesting that we're like, oh my God, how do I introduce this?
Right.
Right? Because it feels so sensitive. But the truth of it is that it's really normal. It's really normal. So that is what I felt when I shared it. I'm not sharing something taboo. I'm not sharing something bad or wrong. I'm sharing that when I was 12 years old, I was raped by a boy of similar age. He was 2 years older than me. And I didn't share like the episode. It was the sharing of the feelings of feeling both, please don't hurt me, and feeling safe. And I just shared that very, it was like I was doing yoga about a week and a half ago, and I had bent over and I felt what I call tendernesses. I don't give my emotions names. I'm just, oh, there's a tenderness here. And as I laid down and I rested into that here came my 12-year-old self to be held, to be heard, to be felt, to be understood, and to be seen. And then I shared that experience, which was so tender for me to be able to hold her. And, you know, I went into almost immediately, I went into like, why am I getting this information now? I'm 40, I'm happy. But it was because I wasn't ready before that. I am ready to hold her and him and the situation and rape culture and all of it. I'm ready to hold that space, feel it deeply, but not contribute to it in the way that makes it a continuous pattern.
Yeah.
And not see it in a way that like introduces blame, shame, or guilt in my direction. So like, I'm bad, I'm ugly, I'm gross, even though I was told this like almost immediately, but also that he's not bad or wrong or gross or disgusting. There was just a situation of him not knowing himself.
That person raped you, violated you. How could you say that he was not a bad person and what he did was not wrong?
So long, I can't make him bad or wrong without also making me wrong. It's not possible. Wrongness is a double-edged sword. If he's wrong, then there must inevitably be something wrong with me. That's how blame, shame, and guilt works. So if I can look at my own innocence, in order for me to experience forgiveness within my own being, I also have to experience his innocence. It doesn't take away from what happened. It doesn't make it, doesn't resolve it or solve it, but it allows to talk about it openly without anger, without fight, without violence inside of me. If I feel violent towards him, I'm perpetuating the cycle. And if I feel violence towards him, I will be violent towards myself. And that's just in my living experience, it's not an option. And I've been through that. I've been angry. Like, it's not that I'm not angry. Like, I make full contact with my emotions.
Yeah.
So if I'm sad, if I'm grieving, if I'm angry, if I'm disappointed, if I feel shame, that's the thing. I feel it. I'm not denying myself that experience. I'm not telling myself I'm wrong for feeling that way. I'm not telling myself I'm wrong for feeling violated. I'm not telling myself I'm wrong for hating him. And I'm also not telling myself I'm wrong for seeing his innocence. It's this freedom to experience my emotions in the purest form that they come in.
I'm pretty sure that at some point in your life, you did feel deep pain and anger and also blame yourself for what had happened, right? Because that's the normal way for most of us to react.
I think that honestly, the normal way that I reacted, if I'm honest, if I go back to that moment and that very tender time around that, was the deepest thing I experienced was confusion. It wasn't anger. It wasn't fuck you. That came later from like a different adult perspective. Anger comes from the thought process. It shouldn't have happened. it happened. I can't take it back.
Yeah.
To tell myself it shouldn't have happened, I create myself a victim, and it feels really awful. I don't feel empowered in my life. I feel victimized in my life. And I am the farthest thing from a victim that I can find. So, and the other thing too that I noticed about situations like this is that it was one moment in my life, and I replayed it in my head a billion times.
Yeah.
And as soon as I hit stop on that recorder and I stopped replaying it, then I had space. Then I had the opportunity to look at it from the eyes of innocence, which were the eyes that were present, the confusion. Yeah. Wow, what just happened? What was that? Why? But you know, that confused place is much more childlike. And from that confused place, I could start to feel my feelings of being scared, of feeling violated, not really understanding what just happened. And then not understanding the feedback from people who found out about it, that I'm a slut somehow. That, and this is what I think people have a hard time with sometimes, is like the rape itself, like I said, it's one moment. My body is resilient. I'm resilient. Yeah. It's there. But it was like the feedback that I was somehow slutty, or, and not from the guy, right? But from other people, that was unequivocally more painful to me than anything else. And that is what perpetuates this culture that it's okay for these things to happen, that men or boys can take what they want.
Yeah.
Because she must have wanted it, or that kind of, but that really comes from people not, that's blaming, that's shaming, that's guilting, that's violence. I don't want to perpetuate that, and I will not. And so I've done a lot of deep work on blame, shame, and guilt, because I could point the finger at those people too. And then we just have a war. And what good does that do?
I made a comment to a rape victim not too long ago, and she almost ripped my head off. Apparently the rape happened 30 years ago, and she had seen the therapist throughout all those years, yet she had not made a single progress. And all she talked about was the rape and how horrible she felt, and she went on and on about it. So at some point I stopped her, and here are my exact words. What happened to you was horrible, and you can't change, you can't do anything about it. You must stop allowing the person from raping you again and again for the rest of your life. Just let it go. She was so furious, and she verbally attacked me like a wild animal on Facebook for weeks and weeks. In the end, I blocked her from my Facebook because I couldn't reason with her.
To some people, it does feel insensitive, and we want to hold on to the victim. It's like we could wear it like a badge of honor, and it's not. It's perpetuating the violence. And it's difficult to hear that. I mean, like, if somebody had told me this 5 years ago, I probably would have punched them in the face too. So I understand. I understand, like, from that place of holding on to my victimhood, to my suffering, to my thing,
yeah.
I'm not able to help anybody, not even myself.
It came from a place of love.
Right.
I didn't mean to cause her any pain or anger. Unfortunately, she didn't get it. She allowed her anger to consume her.
Yeah, and you never feel safe, and you feel like the world is get you, and you feel like life is against you, and you feel like there's something innately wrong with you, and everybody else is fine. And this is a violent place to live.
You know, I've been keep on telling people that it was not their fault. And I asked them to stop punishing themselves by pouring salt into the open wound. And every time when I try to tell somebody to let go of the pain and give themselves a chance to heal, it backfired.
Like, so long as you hold to the victimhood, you cannot heal. That's a really good point. The healing doesn't come so long as you hold so tightly to the terror, pretty much. And the thing is, this is what I like to say, like, the work that I'm doing, I do deep, like, I love emotional freedom, but I'm into emotional independence. And I've done so much deep work, but you know, not everybody wants to. Not everybody wants to, and that's okay. And the thing about being a victim is where all violence comes from. The person who raped you was a victim in his own mind, and you were the one thing standing in the way of feeling better. And I think what happens too, when you hold on to the victimhood, when you hold on and you replay it over and over and over again, it's your way of connecting to yourself. It's a really kind of confused way of telling yourself, I love you, I care about you. And it's also a way, and this is going to sound really strange, it's a way to avoid your feelings about the situation. So long as you're using anger, rage, pissed offness, poor meanness, you're not making full contact with the full brunt of the emotions around it, the full health, like the more weak and pathetic emotions. but they're actually more powerful. It's the helplessness, the fear, the feeling of not ever being safe. If you don't make full contact with those, you're not going to come out. And so we use the victimhood, which is just anger. It's like to keep ourselves from feeling the really clear emotions that are underneath.
Yeah.
And so when you drop the defenses, when you drop blame, shame, guilt, fear, anger, rage, when you drop the protective mechanisms, you have an opportunity that's more terrifying than even being in a rage. And that is to really feel what you feel. And when you do that, you no longer point the finger in any direction and you become freedom itself.
How is it possible to drop the feelings, Shante? It's not that easy.
Okay, dropping them is maybe not the right words to use. It's be willing to feel everything, including your rage, but feel it. Don't use it to not feel the other stuff. But it was like you have to go. It's like for me, it was like a train, and it was going. And so first came the anger and the rage. It was like peeling it off. But I didn't just like put it aside. I had to feel it. I had to be honest. Oh my God, I'm so angry. And like just shake and vibrate and yell into my pillow and not be violent towards somebody else and cry and feel like I was ripping myself out of my skin. And then as that was felt, came the next wave of, let's see, what was for me, it was like anger, regret, blame, shame, deep, deep guilt, deep fear. Then I started to feel, oh, the helplessness. Oh, the grieving, the loss of thinking my body was safe, you know, and all of that started coming. And as all of that could be felt, and I call it full body contact, right? And made full body contact with each layer of my emotion. I got closer and closer to freedom, which is I'm not a victim. This thing happened to me, but it is not who or what I am.
Yeah.
And it's who or what my rapist is either. It was a moment in time in his life as well. Now, he went on to get incarcerated for others, and that was his path. That was his path. It's not my business. But if I sit here in a place of being angry, then not he wins, but the rape wins and runs my life. And every decision I make and every step I take, it will be made through that lens. That, I don't know anything more painful.
Yeah, I can relate to that. You know, for more than 20 years, I lived in intense anger, fear, and hatred. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't function as a normal human being. And I was suffocated by these feelings. They were eating me alive. But when I finally accepted my past and surrendered to my pain, I ended up crying nonstop for 3 days and nights. And after that, it was a huge relief. And I had not been the same person since. So, you know, it is really important that we get in touch with our pain and allow ourselves to live in that base so that we can heal ourselves. I think when we don't allow ourselves to feel the feelings and hold on to it so tight, we can cause serious harm to ourselves and also to others. That's why people turn to drugs, suicide, do unforgivable things, say, like rape, murder, and on, because they're no longer able to keep that terrible voices in their heads under control. So then they explode.
Yes. Wait, because I also, in the darkest moment, and not just because of the rape, my life led up to a really dark moment where I became very understanding about suicide, because I was sat on that same ledge. I sat right on that precipice. And there was some grace that happened for me that keeps me, that I'm still here and happy and like really living a joyful, delightful life. There was a point where I recognized I don't want to die in like the body. I want to kill myself. But this way of living like this wants to die real bad. Because like you said, I can't breathe. I don't want to be here. And so that night someone did die, but it was the victim. It was the one that was suffering so deeply that died, and it was necessary. And I also understand how it can go. That fine line can be taken. And in that moment, and this is not going to be a popular viewpoint and something I've hidden, but I'm just done with that. I can understand that at the moment someone takes their life, for them in that moment is the kindest thing they could ever do for themselves. It's not even I want to die, because what I found underneath, because when you make contact with that, I want to die, and you make contact with, like, you really feel it. It's this thing screaming inside of you, I want to live. And this, how you are living, is no way to live. Like, no, thank you. You know, and it's like what you call it, your higher self, your source, God, however you experience that in your life, is saying you don't have to live like this anymore. This is exactly my work in the world, is that helping people recognize they have the ability to feel their emotions, no matter how intense, no matter how negative, no matter how dark and still be okay. And when you are willing to feel everything that you experience and really let it take you to your knees, and this happens to me on a daily basis, man, my heart is broken open every day multiple times. And I'm like, what? And I just call it tendernesses. Like, here's the tendernesses, and it's for me to feel it. It's for me to be alive. Every time I feel something intense, it's a confirmation that I am alive. And when you can do that and you come from a space of knowing, I can feel anything and I'm okay, you no longer become violent towards yourself, someone else. It's emotional freedom that is really, for me, the future. And that is being willing to feel what we think, what we've been trying not to feel for centuries, have never really been taught how to feel your feelings. Watch any kid under 5 years old. They got it. They are clear. They know how to feel their feelings. They feel their feelings and they feel their feelings, and they can feel 50 different feelings in like an hour. None of them being blame, shame, or guilt, because they don't throw a tantrum and then get up and run down the street whistling, oh, I shouldn't have thrown that tantrum. They're just like, hey, I had a tantrum. Big deal. It's okay. I can, like, that it's okay to feel rage. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to be mad. It doesn't mean anything about you, and it doesn't mean you have to stay there.
But once you feel the feeling and you let it go, you actually releasing all this energy.
Exactly. What I experience is I don't actually let the feeling go. When I feel it, the feeling lets go of me. Like, I don't have the power to be like, go away, anger, right? But I have the innate ability to be like, to hold my anger and be like, and really feel it, really embody it in my body. And then somehow, by some weird thing, it goes pop, there goes anger. It just, like, there it went. Because it's like there was no resistance to it. And even resistance is okay. But becoming incredibly intentionally aware of your emotional experience is what I call freedom. I'm aware that I'm feeling tender right now. Oh, I'm aware I can't. My husband was giving me feedback the last couple of days. And I've been really tender the last couple of days. And it wasn't like any bad kind of feedback, but I wasn't willing to hear it. I could feel myself like start to get really like crunched up inside and closed off and crispy, you know, and kind of like wanting to get mad. And I could feel it. And I'm so aware. And I was like, sweetheart, thank you. But I can't even hear your feedback. And I really, you know, I just can't. I'm not open to what you have to say. And this is such an honest way of communicating. It's not, probably not nice for him to hear that, but it's honest. Just like, hey, I'm not able to hear this right now. I'm not in a place to be open to your view right now. And that to me that's freedom to me, to be able to express myself so clearly. So what I call cleanly, you know, or I get angry at something happens with my kids, and usually I get afraid, right? And then I react from that fear, and then I see the fear, and I will go right to my kid and be like, oh my God, I have to tell you what just happened.
Yeah.
I was terrified that because you did that, you would become a criminal for the rest of your life, and I would never be free of you, and I'd always be responsible for you. And then it all just happened in like 3 seconds. And then I yelled at you. And that is what happened. I just lost my mind. I'm sorry.
I do that all the time. When I'm emotionally not ready to listen to the other person's point of view, I ask them to wait until I'm in a better mood. Then I promise I'll come back and listen to what they have to say.
Yeah, it's too that then I do come back. When I'm ready, I do come back and say, okay, you know, we talked about that thing. Would you like to tell me now? And that's really important. I think that's an important piece too. It's not just like it's not just like a pushing somebody aside and saying, oh, I'm not ready. It's not an arrogance, but it's an willingness to be like, when I'm ready, I will come back to you about this. And also, like, I recognize with my husband, when I'm really tender, when I'm really down, he wants to fix me. He wants to make it all better, which is so beautiful. And sometimes all I have to say is, you don't need to fix me. Just hold me. And it's such a beautiful connection between us. And he recognizes he doesn't have to do anything, that him just being here with me is enough.
What do you want to say to our listeners that are not willing or ready to free themselves from their past?
Just look around you and see how that's going for you and others. Because it is victims that create war. It is blame, shame, and guilt that create arguments and violence. And are you willing to be a part of that still? I'm not. And it means a lot of deep inner work, and it means a lot of intentional noticing. It means being very present to my own experience. To my experience, not somebody else's, but to mine. And I just would like to say, you don't have to live there. There's an option out.
Shanti, what I don't understand is that eventually many of the victims will, at some point in their lives, become the abusers themselves. Why is that?
Yeah, it's the cycle, right? If you don't feel your feelings, if you perpetuate the blame, shame, game, the blame, shame, guilt game, the fear game, the anger game, you become that. You become it because it feels safe. So you become you become violent. You perpetuate the culture of it. It's like this consistent thing. Like, it's great that, like, the Stanford rapist and all of that going around. And her letter was poignant. her letter was not necessarily, she's not blaming or shaming him. She's calling him to step up to responsibility. And to me, responsibility is no blame, shame, and guilt in any direction. And when you don't blame and shame and guilt yourself, you stand up and you say, I did that. I made a terrible decision. And I can stand in that knowing that I made a bad decision, but I'm not a bad person. So long as there's blame, shame, and guilt going on, people can't admit. People can't come into the clear and say, I really fucked up. How can I make it right now? Maybe you never can, but at least you can own it. And you can't own something you're feeling blame, shameful about. You can't. And so if you feel ashamed, if you feel blaming that person, you continue the cycle because of the pain. The pain inside you is what continues the violence. It's what continues war. It's what creates weapons. If you address your own pain, you really come up real close and you allow your pain to live instead of trying to push it down. You stop violence in its tracks. The only reason people perpetuate and go on to be molesters and rapists when it's happened to them is because there's a really hidden, deep belief that somehow if I do that, I will be relieved of my pain. And when I blame you, I get one moment of reprieve from my feelings. It's one moment of what feels like the ultimate power, anger, hate, rage. It feels like power, like, oh, I can come out of this unsafe place. I can be powerful. The price you pay for that is not worth it to me. I would rather come from an internal place of knowing my wholeness and my safety, because then I'm a part of the solution. The anger and rage and power perpetuates the cycle and the patterns and doesn't allow you to step outside of your pattern. There's another piece. Stepping outside of the pattern is going to feel like you're betraying humanity. Leaving behind the victim is going to feel like you're stabbing somebody in the back. But when you walk away from the victim, you recognize how much you love yourself. And that can sometimes be the most terrifying. Can I love myself even in my most broken moment? That's the most powerful question I have ever found.
Yeah. I just want to encourage the people to grow through their pain. And I want them to stop seeing themselves as victims. Just let it go and allow yourself to heal.
And the thing is, when you live in that place, you cannot, I think this is my opinion about human beings. We innately want to help each other. We innately want to share who we are. We innately want to feed each other. You know, it's like we're this community essence. And when you're living in that victimhood, you can't help. You can't help. If you don't take care of yourself and be, you are the healing that you seek. And heal yourself, you can't help others. No matter how illusionary it may seem you can help others, but you can't. It's not possible to be helpful. And really what is helpful is you healing that space within you. And it might take a long time. And who cares? Dude, this is my life's work. This is my life's work. And I do it in a really deep and fun way, but it's something that I think needs to be done. Yeah. This emotional ability to feel our emotions as they arise and not like trying to push them down like you're drowning them, because they don't go away. You're feeling them anyway. And when you don't, you come into like an addictive pattern as well. You either are addicted to the pain, you become addicted to the pain hits, so you become addicted to the victimhood feeling, the feeling of having people feel sorry for you.
Yep.
Or you become addicted to drugs, shopping, food, whatever the hell's out there. And you are easily swayed back and forth, and you feel really insecure and really indecisive. And when you recognize your wholeness and are willing to feel you become like unmanipulable. You begin to see the world through really clear eyes, and you become like a force to be reckoned with, but from a place of kindness and not a place of anger. And I'm really fierce about it too. I'm really fierce about it. I truly believe violence will stop once we all come to feel our emotions clearly.
Thank you, Shante, once again for being on my show. I knew you were the perfect person to talk to about this sensitive subject. I'm looking forward to your workshop.
That would be awesome.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.